Hi, I'm Peter Hill, and this is the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along to another edition of the D Word podcast. I talk to many inspirational people, and this week my guest is Harry Urban, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2002, and since then he's been a tireless campaigner trying to raise the profile of dementia in his local community and worldwide. So first off, what led Harry to seek a diagnosis?
This is back in 2002. I retired and actually I retired in 2000. I retired and I found out that while I was working, I wasn't able to do the things on time that I've done for many, many years. And I was fortunate enough to, our company offered an early retirement plan. And it was years of service and your age. And I took that opportunity. And I retired. And after I retired, I found out that my problems were getting worse. So my hearing was bad, and I went to have my hearing checked. And my hearing was so bad that they thought I had a brain tumor. And they sent me for an MRI, a brain scan. And fortunately for me, I didn't have a brain scan, but they detected things, and further testing ended up with a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. I was fortunate that my hearing was bad and I had that testing done. But I had no clue what Alzheimer's was. Now, I have a family history of Alzheimer's, and I remember my uncle, and I remember him in his late stages. And I thought to myself, my goodness, that's not me. So I was scared to death. So in my wisdom, I got on the internet to learn as much as I could about Alzheimer's. And boy, that scared me more. I mean, there was so much misleading information out there that I finally thought that I had to find a way to learn about this disease. And the only way I was going to learn about it is from others living with this disease. And that led me to my advocacy that I do now.
Yeah, it's, in terms of when you had your diagnosis, I mean, were you given any support or, what was the kind of story there?
My advocacy is very important to me. Now, over in the UK, I became an ambassador for the Purple Angels, Norman Max Group. And in Italy, I became an ambassador for Sentimenta. It's an Italian group. And here in the States, we believe in treating dementia through medication. And I think that is so wrong. Like, if you get depressed, they give you a pill to get over your depression. And that's what got me so involved with Sentimenta, because they have a more gentle, caring way of caring for somebody. If somebody has depression, they try to determine why that person is depressed and then treat that symptom. So it's not just, here's a pill. But here in the States, we, now I've been fighting for the rights of dementia for a long time, and I don't see much improvement. Now there's some programs, yes, that are out, but I know when I talk to, newly diagnosed patients that's just been diagnosed, they have the same questions and fears I had 20 years ago. So to me, we didn't make much progress.
Yeah, that's kind of sad to hear. I mean, you know, why do you think that is? Because, you know, there is a greater understanding, the occasional news story about dementia. But as you say, still those kind of support services here in the UK is very batchy. It's got to be said. And, you know, I just wonder why that's the case with, you know, you yourself, you know, 20 years on.
But you see, now, when I was first diagnosed, like I said, I was looking for information. So at that time, the Alzheimer's Association had a bulletin board that you could post questions, and 3 or 4 days later, you got a response. Well, I thought to myself, in this day and age, there has to be a better way. So I created several support groups on Facebook called Forget Me Not. And in Forget Me Not, I tried to, my goal was to give people hope that there is life beyond your diagnosis. You know, like when I talk to somebody that was newly diagnosed with any form of dementia, it's doom and gloom. And I try to lead by example. And I say, I've been living with this disease over 20 years now, and look what I can do. Now, the first thing they say, are you sure you weren't misdiagnosed? And my answer is no. If you look at my cognitive testing, now, I have no idea what day it is. I can't count. I can't tell time anymore. I forget my children and grandchildren's names, but my functionality is great. And I think the reason for that, Pete, is because dementia awareness gave me a purpose. It gave me a reason to get up in the morning and to raise awareness. And I think I was very successful just because of the response I get, especially from, I call my sentimental family. It's my Italian friends that I've never met, but we formed a bond. And it's incredible. Now, I also have several, we call them, dementia chats. Now, I got the idea from, Norm McNamara, and, we meet several times a month, and we discuss what it's like living with dementia.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Now, I make a point telling them that I can't give you medical advice. I can't give you financial advice. I can't give you legal advice because I'm not qualified. But I can tell you what it's like living with this disease and how you have to partner with it to to live well.
Yeah, I mean, we've Norm's a great bloke. We had Norm on the show. I know Norm quite well. He does a marvellous job here with the stuff that he does. I guess really, you know, it's really about concentrating on what you can do rather than thinking about what you can't do.
I try to teach people don't dwell and worry about the things you can't do anymore. That try to improve the things you can do. Now, there's always the theory going around, at least here in the States, that people living with dementia can't learn new things. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not true. Now, I already told you of some of my shortcomings, but I'm always learning new things. Like my woodworking. I love woodworking. But through my dementia, it's unsafe for me to use power tools. So should I give up my love of woodworking? No. You find ways to do it without using the power tools. I mean, my goodness. Back in the olden days, when they made something, they didn't have power tools. So why can't we do that now? And I love woodworking. And it's funny because at the one meeting we had a member at a memory cafe that was so depressed with his depression. With his dementia. And I asked him, I said, what's the thing that you can't do anymore that you want to do? And he says, I love to go hunting. He says, I hunted since I was just a child, but I can't hunt anymore. And he says, I really get depressed over that. And I said, well, why can't you go hunting? He says, well, obviously, it's unsafe for me to have a gun. And I said, yeah, that's true. But what do you enjoy the most about hunting? And he said, well, I enjoy getting out with my friends in the woods, walking in the woods. He said, I don't care if I get anything or not. He said, that's not important to me. I said, did you ever try going hunting with a camera? I said that you could have a friend that takes you out in the woods to make sure you're safe, and you could take pictures of the wildlife. He says, oh my goodness, Harry, I never thought of that. But that's what I try to do. I try to help people understand that you can still do things while living with dementia. Now, of course, you're going to have to adapt. You have to learn your limits, you know, because now my days of skydiving is over. Although I never skydived before, but I would forget to open up the parachute, and that wouldn't be good. But there's so many things. I said, when you get diagnosed with dementia, don't sit on your sofa and wait to die. Find a hobby. There's something that you can do. And once you get involved in the hobby, you're going to find a passion for something. And once you find that passion, you found the secret to living well with dementia.
Yeah, that's a great message, I think. Because, you know, going back to what you were saying a little bit earlier, there does seem to be this concentration on take a pill and go down the medical route whereas the social route, as I call it, is still in its infancy, really. And I think one thing you do in your work, Norm does as well, is there is nothing like a lived experience and actually talking to somebody. You know, I don't class myself as an expert because you guys are the experts because, you know, you are going through it.
Mm-hmm. So you have to learn early on that you're walking towards a better life. And once you do that, you can accept your disease. You're not afraid of it anymore. And once you get past that point, then you can start paying back for this gift that you were given. And by paying back is by helping someone else. But the stigmas and myths that go with dementia is amazing. Now, I spoke to a person in India several years ago, and he was telling me that there was a woman that got stoned to death in her village because they thought she was possessed by the devil. Okay, now those things, now, of course, we don't have that here in the States, but it's funny that they recommend having a card. Like if you go out for breakfast, the card says, please be patient. This person has dementia. So I'm the type, I want to test out this card. I found that when you give the server this card, you will not get a second cup of coffee. She will not come around and ask you how your breakfast was. It's like, oh my God. Or if somebody finds out that I have dementia. Now, I do have cognitive problems that at times I have problems diagnosing and understanding what people were saying. You know, so it takes me time. But if I tell somebody I have diagnosis, they either talk real slow or talk real loud. And I said, no, you don't have to do that. You just have to be patient with me. That when you talk to me normal, but give me time to process what you're saying. Because it may take me a while to process, and it's not like I didn't hear you. I just didn't understand yet what you said. One of the things that we try to teach the care partners is how to communicate with somebody with dementia. And I'm a storyteller, so I like to tell stories. We had a friend that her mother was in a care facility. And she said to me, Harry, would you go along with me to visit with my mother? And I said, sure, I'd love to. She said, now, I have to warn you, she doesn't speak anymore. She doesn't open her eyes. That she's kind of in a comatose state. I said, that's not a problem. And so we went, and I visited her up until the day she died. But it was amazing, Pete, the transition she made, that she was there. She heard me. She understood what I said, because at the one visit, I said to her, I says, I would really love to have a picture of me and you. Would it be okay if you took a picture? And she started fixing her hair. You know, and I knew I reached her. Well, after several visits, she opened up her eyes. You know, she just stared at me. You know, and I knew now her dementia was at such a stage that she no longer could speak verbally. But she would touch my hand or touch my face. Like when I went to visit, I would say hello to her and she would reach up and you know, that was her way of saying, hello, Harry, welcome. You know, and what I do, I try to teach people body language. Now, we went through a period of, we thought that we could teach people that got newly diagnosed sign language, that as they advance, they could use sign language. Like if you have a headache, you know, or if you're thirsty, you know, things like that, or tired, that they could learn that. Because I know people that are advanced, if they always say, Harry, how are you doing? Are you feeling okay? Well, the more they ask me, the more, well, I'm not feeling okay, you know, even though I am. And do you have a headache? You know, all of a sudden, they plant the seed that I have a headache. And I say, never do that. And like, if you're having a bad day, don't go visit your loved one when you had a bad day. Because we mimic the emotions of you. Like, Pete, if you would come to me and if you would be angry at something, I would pick up those emotions. And all of a sudden, I would be angry. And I don't know why. But I'm also telling you, if you come in with a smile and happy, all of a sudden, I'm happy too. Like, at our memory cafes, I make a point that everybody leaves with a smile. We had one woman that I love her very much, but she was suicidal. She didn't want to live because of this disease, you know. And her doctor requested her to come to one of her memory cafes just to check it out. And she said she walked in and she said, what is wrong with these people? They're laughing. They're having a good time. Don't they know they have dementia? And I told her, I said, give it time and you're going to become one of those people. And it was like day and night. It turned around and she learned to accept her dementia. And she found out ways to live with it. You know, quit fighting this disease. Because you're not going to win. You know, you're just not going to win. But if you work with it, you can live a happy life.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things I've found is that people find it hard to accept laughter and a sense of humor in the world of dementia. Whereas I found it incredibly powerful when when I was working with my groups, because I've never laughed so much, to be honest, you know, the days I spent with them, because it was full of fun.
But that's why people, the first question is, should I tell my family that I was diagnosed with dementia? Now, That's a tough question to answer because, on one hand, I think yes, you need the support and love of your family. But on the other hand, I know through my own personal experience that when you tell your family, you get rejected. I have sons and daughters that haven't spoken to me in years because of my dementia. I have family members. I have a brother that stopped talking to me. And we used to have breakfast together once a week. And we stopped doing that. And I finally asked him, I said, John, what's the problem? Do we have a problem? And he says, Harry, I want to remember you the way you were. I said, well, that's the most serious thing I heard in my life, because I could live 20 years. Are you going to ignore me for 20 years? But most people don't want to handle the emotional side of it. They don't, like, my friends now, they know me, and they know how open I am about my dementia. You know, I've been speaking about dementia for so long that nothing bothers me anymore. But a lot of times people are walking on eggs because they don't want to upset somebody living with dementia. And you know what? I'm telling you, we pick up on that. We know that emotion, you know. And I know if somebody's a phony or not. You know, like somebody, Harry, how are you today? Well, you know, first thing that comes to my mind is, do you really care? Or are you just being polite? You know, and that's a hard thing to get over. But see, Pete, that's the thing I'm saying, that we have to have more programs to teach that. Like, another example is we have to teach people how to handle eating problems. Like, there was one woman, she came to a memory cafe, and she said that she has trouble feeding her husband. That he won't eat. I said, well, can you demonstrate to me, pretend I'm your husband and show me how you feed? And she said, yeah. And she went, and I overreacted, of course. And she said, yeah. I said, no. You can't do that. So I showed her a technique where you put the spoon in his hand and you take his hand and you help him feed himself. You know, little things like that we have to teach people. And I know very few programs that do that. In fact, at my memory cafe, I created a book on tips and suggestions on caring for someone with dementia. And inside that is like tips on feeding, tips on if your loved one becomes aggressive, what to do. You know, all kind of tips like that, because there is no book. You know, trust me on that. There's millions of books out there with dementia wrote by people that never had dementia, so they had no idea. They only know what they know. You know, they don't know the emotional side of it. And that's what I try to teach people, that dementia is a medical problem. You know, it's not a mental health problem. It's a degeneration of the brain. And I try to teach them your brain that, in fact, I'm making models of a brain. Now, that's the one here. Now, this is a bad one. I'm making a new one. But at a memory cafe, I can teach them that this section of the brain controls your motor skills, your eyesight, and stuff like that. So when they always ask me, well, what's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's? And I have to explain to them that dementia is the umbrella. and hanging off the umbrella is the different forms of dementia. Now, there's over 200 and some different forms of dementia, but the basic ones are like Alzheimer's, Lewy bodies, and frontal lobe, things like that. And they say, well, how does a doctor know what kind of dementia I have? And I said, well, it's a guessing game, really. That's all. I mean, there's no... Now, the testing for dementia has improved tenfold since I was diagnosed. So they have scans and they can actually see the degeneration in the brain. But I say that they go by your symptoms. Like if you have memory problems, things along that way, they know. And if they look at your brain scan and if they see deformities in that, they can say, okay, that's probably Alzheimer's. Or if you have problem with your motor skills, they might lean towards Parkinson's or Lewy bodies, or things like that. Or if you had strokes, it could be vascular, things like that. But it's still a guessing game. Like with me, I was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Now, back in those days, I was diagnosed with that because of my family history and the symptoms I was showing at the time, forgetfulness and things like that. But since then, I'm showing more signs of vascular dementia with mini strokes and things like that. So it's very possible to have mixed dementia. You know, that you can have symptoms of various dementias. But if you think you have a problem, I encourage people to be checked by a doctor. Now, don't go asking a friend, do you think I have dementia? Because guess what? You're not going to get an accurate diagnosis. But if you think you have a problem, you probably do. You know, so it's best to go to your doctor and have the proper testing done and have the proper treatment done. Now, that's the key. That's the key. But I wish doctors would be trained on giving hope. Like, I know when I was diagnosed, and he gave me the wonderful news that he believes I have Alzheimer's. It was, here's a prescription. I'll see you in 6 months.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Ask everybody about it. How are you dealing with this? And they might get four or five different ways of dealing that suits them. So I always say, what works for me may not work for you. Or what somebody else recommends may. And that's how people learn. They learn from each other. And it's a two-way street. You know, somebody learns a lot, but they're given hope. And next thing you know, they're giving you advice. You know, so it's a win-win thing. You talk about love, like, right? I just received in the mail this wonderful Christmas card that was made from a woman in Italy. Now, in Italy, I'm like a poster child. They have little plaques on park benches with my name on it that's given hope. You know, things like that. Sentimented has courses they teach, and a lot of that is through my philosophy on living well with dementia.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I learn a lot from talking to people like you, which is great. Sadly, time is fast approaching an end for us here. Thank you so much for being your guest. Please carry on with the stories. I love people that tell stories on the show. And, you know, I wish you all the best for the future. I think you're doing a great job. What an inspiration. Hope you enjoyed listening to Harry, and you'll join me next time here on the D Word Podcast.